Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to look today at the story of St. Paul's conversion. The church gives it to us in the first reading here, and we're still in the third week of Easter, and looking at, and each day since Easter, we've been looking at the unfolding of the life of the church and what was at the center of the church's life and how the church grew and what the apostles spoke about, what they had to endure, how the Lord worked through them. And there's so much there that we need to internalize and to understand this is what the Lord wants functioning in the church today. And it is in various places in the world, but he wants it to be to fill the life of the church more consistently and for us to be more radically dependent upon him and having Jesus really at the center and proclaiming Jesus, serving Jesus, exalting Jesus, loving people in and through Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's so important. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the programs this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are there, archived. You can listen to them at your leisure. But also, simplest way to access everything that Renewal Ministries is producing on our YouTubes, on our TV programs, other radio programs, Sister Ann's Wonderful Food for the Journey, lots of other material on the website, is download the Renewal Ministries app from the App Store, and you'll be able to access all of that whenever it's most convenient for you. As you do, I ask you to pray for us, that we can continue to grow ourselves in the mission the Lord has given us. We can be faithful to it, walk in it with grace and humility, but wide open to the power of the Holy Spirit in great confidence in these challenging times. Friends, God designed and decided that you and I, we would be alive today in the challenges that we're facing and the great shaking of the nations that's going on, the challenges within the church, and he wants us to yield to his purifying fire and his purifying grace now, so that we can become all that he wants us to be. He wants us to put our idols down before him. And yes, it's possible for even followers to have idols, to put things before the Lord. He wants us to put everything at his feet, just as St. Paul will do eventually here in this beautiful story. So it begins here in chapter 9, verse 1 and following of the Acts of the Apostles. It says, Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, that if he should find any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. Zealous guy. Now, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the programs yesterday and the day before, Saul emerges in the story of the stoning of St. Stephen. And he's there, he's part of it, and he's the leader or one of the key leaders that brought about what was described in the Acts of the Apostles, a severe persecution in Jerusalem. They're trying to cleanse the city, all of Jerusalem, the holy city, and they're going to try to do it across Israel and into Syria and other places. So Paul goes to the leaders of the synagogue and asks for letters to go with him so he can root out all those Jews who began to believe in Jesus and proclaim him. And as he described here, all who belong to the way. That's one of the ways Christianity was described. I mean, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's where the name came from. I'm the way. And so the way of Jesus, following in the footsteps of Jesus, is really what that's all about. It says, so if he should find any men or women who belong to the way, he might bring them back to Jerusalem to throw them in chains. On his journey, as he was nearing Damascus, a light from the sky suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, sir? The reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. There's the moment of great revelation for Saul. And what a revelation it is. And we still have so much to draw from it and learn from it. Paul is arresting Christians. And Jesus appears to him, this transcendent power and light, shocking Paul. Paul falls to the ground, and Jesus, he says, who are you, sir? I'm Jesus. You're persecuting me. Jesus' brothers and sisters, those baptized into Christ, are the body of Christ. And here's one of the places we see it revealed so clearly in the mind of Jesus and how closely he's united to us. the persecution that comes against us and those who stand for Jesus is persecuting Jesus himself. That's essentially what Jesus said would happen. And this is a deeper understanding of the meaning of it and the meaning of how actually united we are to Jesus in the Holy Spirit, one body in Christ. So again, the reply came, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." So here's the authority of Jesus. Now, probably no one could stop Saul like that, dead in his tracks. Saul was determined, almost an unstoppable character, full of zeal. And Jesus saw that zeal, unenlightened zeal. And he wanted that zeal directed to the building of the kingdom, but zeal that was enlightened and brought under the lordship of Jesus. And he commanded him and said, "Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, for they heard the voice, but they could see no one. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see anything. He was blinded by the light of the revelation of the glory of Jesus. And we'll see what the Lord is doing and the meaning of what unfolds in his life. It says, "So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days, he was unable to see, and he neither ate nor drank." So this was a sign. It was kind of a reverse sign, right? The apostles were proclaiming the gospel, and eyes were being opened. Sick were being healed. The people in bondage to demons were being delivered. The kingdom of God was going forward. Paul thought that he saw everything clearly. He was the most zealous, and he'll describe later in one of his letters, he'll describe who he was, the most zealous Pharisee he knew. He was for the kingdom. He was like Phineas from the Old Testament. Now, the story goes on. It says, "There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.'" So the Lord reveals himself to Paul, as he did with Stephen and others. And he said he would. He told us, his apostles, that he would come to them. He would speak to them. The Holy Spirit would help us and give us whatever we needed, that he would guide us. This is the normal Christian life. It didn't happen every day for everybody in the story of the Acts of the Apostles, but it happened enough to know that this is a part of the journey of the church in history, of God working through individuals in various kinds of ways, but all of us being led by the Spirit. That's what it means to be Christian, to walk under the anointing of the Messiah, Jesus. Because why? Because we're united to him. Jesus just said it. We're united to him in one body in the Spirit. That's the anointing. That's what it means. It's not just an external thing that was done to us in baptism through holy oils. That was a visible sign of a reality that was being released in the moment. Now brought into membership in the body, not just in an organization, but a living organism, the church, the new life that Jesus is bringing about. So Ananias had to be a new believer because everybody at this time is a new believer and he's praying. And he gets a vision from the Lord. And he says, "Here I am, Lord." Reminds me of Samuel and stories in the Old Testament as well. And the Lord said to him, you notice, he heard this. He might have heard an audible voice, literally an audible voice. He might have just heard it in his spirit. But what he did is he knew it was the Lord and it was loud and clear what the Lord was trying to speak to him. The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight and ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's there praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias, and come in and lays hands on him that he may regain his sight." So this is the game plan that the Lord is revealing to Ananias. He's saying, "I've already shown Paul that you're coming, that you're going to lay hands on him, and a miracle's going to happen. I'm going to give him his sight back. And a new beginning will happen for him." But I love Ananias. This makes total sense. He responds, "But Ananias replied, 'Lord, I've heard from many sources about this man, what evil things he's done to your holy ones in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to imprison all who call upon your name.'" It's a very loving and respectful way, Ananias, to try to help Jesus understand who Saul is. It's like, and Ananias saying, "Lord, this doesn't make any sense. Not this guy. He's our enemy." And the Lord had a different plan. It goes on to say, but the Lord said to him, go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. And I will show him what he will suffer for my name. I just love the way Jesus relates. He's so clear. He's so direct. He has so much authority. Ananias, he received Ananias's concern, and he put it pretty simply. Go. It's a command. Go. For this man is a chosen instrument of mine. So in an instant, because Jesus tells Ananias that Paul is chosen, it's a game changer for Ananias. He turns. He probably struggled with it on the road there to find Saul, but he received it. He was probably thrilled at the same time. Wow, this guy? I mean, I understand other people being converted, but this guy, he's going to serve Jesus? He's going to be one of us? Wow. Jesus is in the transforming business. He transforms lives. He's the Lord God Almighty. And Ananias, though he doesn't have the same strengths that Paul will demonstrate, he doesn't have the same breadth of calling that Paul has, but guess what? He was an instrument of bringing Paul from darkness to light, from blindness to seeing. Why? Because he obeyed the Lord. Ananias had to exercise faith. He had to say, yes, this is the Lord. First of all, he had to be praying, and he was praying, and he was paying attention. And as he's praying, he has a vision of the Lord, and the vision speaks to him. The Lord speaks to him in the vision. So he has to receive it. He discerns it. This is the Lord. And then he acts on what he's been given. He acts because the commander, the Lord, the king, has spoken to him, and he's now moving out, and he's engaging the mission. And he gets a glimpse of who Paul's going to become and the commissioning that's on Paul's life, the assignment that Paul's been given. Paul's assignment is not Ananias' assignment, but Ananias' assignment is not Paul's assignment. It's the same with us. Every one of us, friends, have been given an assignment from God in life, from the Lord himself, that he really commands us to get after and to fulfill and to walk in. If you don't know what that assignment is, it's really important to ask him. Your marriage, your family, your vocation, your job, the people that's been put in your life, there's a lot there in discerning it and seeking it. The Lord will show you. And then so Ananias went and entered the house and laying his hands on him said, Saul, my brother, the Lord has sent me, Jesus who appeared to you on the way by which you came, that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately things like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. He got up and was baptized. And when he had eaten, he recovered his strength. There it is. That's the gospel. Paul entered into it. He stayed some days with the disciples in Damascus, and he began at once to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Wow. Saul, my brother, Ananias immediately. You know, that kind of story has happened thousands and thousands of times throughout Christian history as people come to the Lord and former enemies become brothers. You are my brother. The Lord has sent me. He has a mission for you. And he prayed, and Ananias obeyed. A miracle happened. Paul's eyes were open and he was baptized. Jesus says, unless you're baptized, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. So all that Jesus said, all that he commanded, all that he intends is unfolding right here. It's so good to chew on this, friends. Lord, I pray that each one of us, those who are listening, my own life, we can be more fully conformed to this and walking in your plan in the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.